Hey guys, welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 65. So this one, it's a little bit shorter. I'm not sure if that's just, I might be making elementary math errors. I don't know. The last one was longer reading, and I thought I caught up, but then maybe I went too far. I don't know. But at any rate, it's a little bit shorter today, but it's we got some good stuff. This is a very... I think you'll see why this is a somewhat, if you pay attention to the late, great Christopher Hitchens, this was, a part of the Bible that he referenced from time to time. So, that's good. So, we're on 1 Samuel chapter 14. I'm curious to see who the second Samuel is. I don't know if there's, like, how many Samuels there are, but if they just, I don't know, like, if what the story behind it is, but if there's just... This was the first Samuel, and then, like, oh, we found another Samuel, and he's writing a book, too. And then it's like, oh, okay, so we'll call that the second Samuel. I don't know if that continues indefinitely or what. Anyway, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. It's the Philistines' garrison, Keilah, who's on the other side. But he told not his father. So that's Jonathan, the son of Saul, who's, if you remember, Saul's the king. Samuel, who hasn't been mentioned, is like the prophet. He's the current guy, like head judge guy. Samuel's the king that the Lord didn't want, but then the people wanted, you know? So that's that. And Jonathan apparently is his son, who is trying to find a bit of glory for himself. So he gets his... person who carries his armor is like, let's go find some people to fight, not tell my dad, is essentially what happened in that first sentence. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Oh, so he took 600 men, I guess. That's weird. I missed that the first time. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. That was a sentence. I don't know what... And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Okay. Jonathan and 600 people. This is what it's throwing me off. Saul tarried Saul. No, sorry. Saul had the 600 men. Jonathan... Okay, sorry. Confusion. Back up. Jonathan did just go with his little gay buddy there who bears his armor. His boyfriend. Jonathan did. Did I say Saul? Okay, I've completely messed it. Just delete this episode. Okay, we're starting a new episode. So Jonathan has got snuck off, like I thought originally, but then second-guessed myself, with his gay buddy. I like how he's gay and he's his buddy. Like, I like to call, not because I'm insulting gay people, I don't mean to do that, but I think it's funny to call these people in the Bible gay because they would have hated it so much, you know? I don't mean it as... I don't mean to insult gay people by using it as a bad word. But I just think it's funny to call people who are clearly, like, super homo... super homophobic to call them gay. So that's why I'm saying this is his gay buddy. Probably is. Could have been, too. Most of them, I'm sure, were closeted. Anyway, so Jonathan's going with his boyfriend over to the Philistines. He's gonna kill him some Philistines without anyone else, so that maybe he's gonna get some glory. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over under the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senna, which does not matter in any way. So forget I said anything. Just forget I said anything. The forefront of the one was situate, I kind of like that, instead of situated, they say situate, northward, over against Michmash. Michmash, paddywhack, give a dog a bone, is M-I-C-H-M-A-S-H, Michmash. And the other is southward, over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, hey there. No. Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And I love the wording of that one, because it sort of sounds like the circumcised, their penises is the important part. Like, Hey, come on, man. Let's go. Let's get out of this place and go find some more, uncircumcised men. Enough of all this. I'm feeling a real lack of foreskin right now. Let's get out of here. Let's go check out the uncircumcised crowd. And his arm bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Now, if that's not gay, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves to them." So they're going to come out to them. "Hey, guys!" And they said, "If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armbearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will shew you a thing." And Jonathan said unto his armbearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." Yeah, because that's just science. If I were the gay armbearer there, I would have said, now that I think about it, Jonathan, it could just be coincidence that they asked us to come up there. I mean, that seems like a pretty logical response. So I don't know that we should jump into this, fray of being vastly outnumbered because they said we should come up there. Because, like, I could see them just saying that without the whole God miracle part. Jonathan should have set the miracle bar a little... that sounds delicious, miracle bar. He should have set the miracle bar a little higher and said, "Okay, so if they say stay there and we'll come to you, then that means that God's not delivering them to us. But if they say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious or say that correctly, then we know it's a miracle." Or like tiki tiki tambo no say rambo chari bari ruji pip peri pambo or something, just something completely against all odds. Then I'm with you. Like if I were the arm bearer, then be like, okay. If he says that, like, just completely out of the blue, then, all right, I'll go, clearly that's a miracle. But he says, if they ask us to come up there, then that's a sign from God. It's like, I'd be a little nervous, Anyway, where were we? And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his arm bearer after him, after checking him out for a while. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armbearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an acre and a half, no, a half acre of land, because it's important. It's not important. Which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was a trembling in the host in the field and among all the people of the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled and the earth quaked, and it was a very strong trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And then and they went on beating down one another. Real beat down. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, "Number now, and see who is gone from us." Because, so Saul, like I said, he's waiting around with 600 men. He sees the Philistines going nuts, and So he's asking, like, find out who's missing, because clearly somebody's fighting them over there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, "Bring hither the ark of God." No, sorry, I skipped a part. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said, "Coincidence? I think not. Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God." For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, "Withdraw thine hand." And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. So basically all that said was there were Israelites who were like captured or who pretended to turn against the other Israelites. And it's saying even they were like back on the proper Israelite side. That's all. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim When they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Well, they didn't need to tell us that they were hard. Like, just say they followed. Like, we don't need to know that. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. So this is a brilliant bit of kingmanship here on the part of Saul.
There's that guy. Yeah.
Bible, every time. Every time. So if any of you happen to find yourselves king of any group of Israelites anytime soon, here's just a little lesson. I love how they always say object lesson, like you need that extra word. You can just say lesson. Does that mean something? That, you know, screw this. I'm Googling that right the hell now. This is important. Object lesson. Object lesson. A concrete illustration of a moral or principle. A lesson taught by using a material object. Yeah, I feel like most of the time you use the phrase object lesson, you could probably just say lesson. You know, like, this was a real lesson for them, you know? Why do people do that? It's like, do they need that extra word just to sound smarter? Anyway, this was a real object lesson for anyone who's planning on becoming a king of any Israelites. So pay attention. I know that some of you might have been tuning out until you heard this part. Then you better pay attention. So Saul was worried that they wouldn't be able to, that the Philistines would get away if they stopped to eat, if their army stopped to eat. So he said, no one's eating, which is, so, you know, not only that, he said, anyone will be killed who eats anything. Which is probably not a good thing to order upon your army, you know, of men who are, marching and fighting all day. They probably should keep their blood sugar up, you know what I mean? Most likely. Otherwise, they're probably just going to fall over, you know, so a good portion of them. Anyway, just a little object lesson for you. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. Oh, someone spilt a bunch of honey, huh? And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to the mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan, good old Jonathan, heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put the end of the rod that was in his hand. I'm not going to say whose rod it was. It was probably the guy who bears his armor. And dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. This Jonathan is really not into listening to his father. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." People were faint. And Jonathan must have been thinking, "Hey, asshole, why didn't you tell me that before I ate the honey off my friend's rod here? Wasn't it apparent what was going to happen after I dipped his rod in the honey? I know maybe you were thinking, you know, something else was going to happen. But still, you could have at least said, hey, in case you're planning on eating that honey off that guy's rod, your dad strictly forbade any food eating for today, you know? But no, he waits till after. Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey." Oh, he's trying to get other people to go gay. "How much more, if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" So he's saying, if anyone would just grab their friend's rod and dip some honey on it, we'd be slaying all kinds of Philistines. And they smote the Philistines that day from Mic... Well, they still smote them. I don't know how much more help they needed. They smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the soil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. So the people have finally had enough. They're like, we're freaking starving. We all need food. So they do another bad thing in the eyes of the Lord, which is they eat the meat without draining the blood from it, which I think is against the, it's against God policy. So yeah, that's another part of this object lesson. Don't do this, because then your people will start eating meat with blood in it, which the Lord liketh not. Then they told Saul, to go F himself. No. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood." And he said, "Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day." Just kind of a weird answer. Like, if you... I don't know, it's kind of funny. It's like if, say, back when you were a kid and you did something just totally against your dad's or mom's orders, and then they said, like, "That's it, roll a great stone to me." You're like, I don't understand. Is that a punishment, or what is... Is that, is it because it's hard to do, or do you need the stone for something? Why am I doing that? I'd just be confused. And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither..." Well, he's not using the stone, apparently. "Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here." And, oh, maybe they're using the stone to slay them, which, do you need a stone to slay things? It seems like they were doing fine before. "And sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood." And all the people brought every man's ox and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And this was like an unsanctioned altar. So I think it's... This is another no-no. Because this is another... Basically, this is the story of how Saul, the king that the Lord didn't want, is sort of failing, you know, quote unquote. "And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light." Let's just buy them all kinds of ice cream and just spoil them, you know? They've had a hard day. You know, we slaughtered a bunch of them, so let's just go spoil the rest of them. "And let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Then said the priest, "Let us draw near hither unto God." And Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. He said, God, I'm talking to you. I love when you add an after something when you're really, really frustrated. God, you. And Saul said, "Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But there was not a man in all the people that answered him. What's happening now is Saul, I guess he found out that Jonathan ate stuff, and is saying, like, well, I guess Jonathan's a dead man, so fork him over. And the people are being, you know, they're hesitant to do so, I think. Then he said unto all Israel, "Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan, my son, will be on the other side." And the people said unto Saul, "Do what seemeth good to thee." They all said this at once. Do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." Which no one knows what it means, except that I guess they vote, like, who's more responsible, all the other people or Saul and Jonathan? And they chose Saul and Jonathan. That's the best I can interpret here. It's kind of oddly phrased. But the people escaped. And Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan." So it's like next round, you know, this little bracket tournament. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I did but taste a little..." I guess he didn't know yet then or something. "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that just happened to be in my hand. It was not... I didn't put it there. It was not a... Definitely not my armor-bearer's penis. If that's what you were thinking, which I don't know that it was. I'm just saying, like, if that's what you were thinking, it wasn't that. It was just a rod. Some rod. It was in mine hand. And lo, I must die." Saul answered, "God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." So he's basically going to kill his son here, so that's good stuff. And the people said unto Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid." That's the first occurrence of God forbid, like an actual God forbid. "As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Okay, so the people decide to save Jonathan. Because they're not freaking idiots. They're like, should we really kill Jonathan for this when he, you know, like, was really good in this battle and destroyed a bunch of people for God? Like, One key aspect of the religious mind is sort of an absolutism, an absolutist perspective. You know, it's like, I'm not trying to say that every religious person today is this ridiculous, but it's sort of, you know, the king sets a rule: no one should eat today because we're gonna, you know, and his reasoning is we don't want the Philistines to get away, so we don't want to take the time to eat. But then, like, one guy has a little bit of honey, and it's like, it totally energized me. It probably helped me kill more Philistines. He's like, you must die, because I said this. It's just an insane logic that I could never, you know, you know what I mean? Like, that anyone could be that absolutist. And I think that sort of way of thinking really separates religious people from rational people. You know, things aren't black and white. You know, it's not, you know, I told you not to eat, therefore if you had a morsel of honey, like, I'm gonna kill you. You know, it's not that. Anyway, so Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. It's like that song, "With every breath you take, whithersoever you go." I don't know why I thought of it. It's really stupid. But I think it would be funny if, like, whithersoever was... I want to put that in a song or something. "Whithersoever you turn." Anyway. "And he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites and delivered out of the hands of them that spoiled them." Okay. "Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishui and Melchishui." This does sound kind of Asian. Ishui and Melchishua. Well, not really, but kind of. "And the names of his two daughters were these." Who am I thinking of? Who's the baseball player? I can't... It's something... I don't really like baseball, to be honest with you. But there's, you know, the baseball players, really good hitters, like the Asian baseball player for the MLB. You know, come on, somebody. What's his name? Ichiro. Yeah, right? Ichiro. Yeah, I don't know. Just that's why I said that. Ishui. And I was thinking, like, very, very Asian-sounding name. But probably not at all. I'm probably just completely wrong on that. "The name of the firstborn, Merab, and the name of the younger, Michael without an E. Is that Mikkel or Mikal or just Michael? I don't know. Sounds Asian. And the, and the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz." I think that's the way to sound like you know what you're talking about. Just put in everything that is Jewish. "Jonathan and Ishri and Melchizedek. And the name of the captain of the host was Abner, little Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle." And this is just genealogy crap that doesn't matter. "And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. And there was a sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul, and when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him." I will try my best not to take that in a gay way. And so we're on chapter 15 now. "Samuel also said unto Saul..." This is Samuel again. I know these names blend in, but Samuel is the priest leader. "Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Slay their asses." So yeah, this is the part that I was talking about, Christopher Hitchens referenced from time to time, so pay attention. "And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye shewed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. He didn't use the point of his sword ever. He never uses the point of his sword, only the edge. It's just smart massacring technique. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Agag, it's a great name. And the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned his back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord at night, like a little baby. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul, come to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone to Gilgal. And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So I'll, okay, I'm just going to read through this, and then I'll talk about it afterward. So, I'll just read through this. I don't want to stop, it's too good. So Saul said unto him, I performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Oh, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said to him, Stay on. Sorry, he said, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go. I love when people ask these irritating questions that are obviously true. Like, he's essentially, I know I said I was going to read through it, but I don't care, I just thought of this. He's like, did we not make you king, you know? Did we not? And then he describes in more detail, like, were you not nothing? And then the Lord also said, go, you know, like, recapitulates the whole thing. And I if I were Saul, I'd be like, yeah, you know, that's true. Yeah, obviously the Lord made me king because I'm king. Like, yeah, the answer is yes. What is your point? Can you get on with it, please? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then, didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, the Amalekites, I'm sure it is, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh, okay, I get it. So, obeying is better than sacrificing, and hearkening, means listening, is better than the fat of the rams that they kept alive. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft! Now, what is the word? I don't know. I actually hate that guy. But for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. No, I know, it's strictly taboo. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. So he just repeats himself, which to me, again, would be frustrating. I'd say, yes, I know you said that. I'm saying, I'm sorry, and let's do this again, maybe. Let's try again. And Samuel turned about to go away. It took me a minute to realize what was happening because they used the pronoun here. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. To a neighbor of thine? And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. So this is Samuel. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house, to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repenteth that he had made Saul king over Israel. Okay, so that's the end of the reading. Despite my reading challenges, I for some reason could not pronounce anything today. Okay, so this was just freaking fantastic. This is one of the best things I've ever read. So, okay, I don't know if you... It's hard to follow along in Bible speak, you know, especially with me interjecting and messing up every other word. So what happened... So Samuel... Okay, the beginning of this chapter. Samuel comes and tells Saul that the Lord has demanded he annihilate the Amalekites, which is something you've maybe heard Christopher Hitchens mention a time or two. And so Saul, the king, goes off doing as he's told and kills every man, woman, and child except for the king of the Amalekites, who's named Agag, who he takes with him, and some sheep and cattle, the best sheep and cattle, to offer to God. So Saul gets back and he's like, all right, check this out. I totally did what the Lord said. Like, look at me. And Sam says, what? What did you do? You've done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And at this point, because I, you know, reading through the first time, I don't get all the meanings necessarily. Like, it's kind of confusing. At this point, I was thinking like, oh, awesome. So maybe there's some misunderstanding and, you know, God didn't actually want Saul to slaughter the Amalekites. He maybe just wanted Saul to go rough him up a little or give him a stern talking to or something. So Saul says, I don't understand. I did what the Lord asked me to do. And Samuel says, yeah, then what's all this bleeding and mooing that I hear? And Saul must have said, well, those are the cattle we kept, you know. And it turns out that if I were Saul, I would have said, like, you realize, I don't know if God realizes this, but the cattle aren't Amalekites. They're just cattle. Like, they don't... They're not part of their family, you know, like they don't, the sheep must have been like, dude, what did we do? We're just sheep. Like we're literally sheep. I know people say that like, oh, they're just sheep. They follow, you know, about people. They're just sheep. They follow whatever the leader does. Yeah. Well, we're that, except we're also just sheep. Like, so why are we all of a sudden part of the Amalekites? You know what? I'm speaking as Saul. I would have told Samuel. If you're worried about me leaving the sheep alive, then, why don't we just, tell you what, let's just rebrand them or something, or give them name tags, and then they're our sheep. They're not the Amalekite sheep, they're our sheep. Sheep are just sheep, they're not part of that family. They're not in the, you know? So it turns out that God, it's not that God had a problem with Saul, killing countless women and children, babies, just murdering everybody. It's that he was mad that Saul left the sheep and the cows alive and the king to ransom, you know? And Saul's like, well, I brought those back because we were going to sacrifice them to the Lord, which means they're going to die anyway, by the way. You know, like, they're not going to do a living sacrifice. They're not going to, oh, sheep, you are sacrificed, but go on, get out of here, go play. You know, like, what do you think happens when they sacrifice them? They kill them. So what is the controversy? But Sam, I think what this is that Samuel is just trying to find, like I said before in the last episode, I think Samuel wants to be proven right and proven that they shouldn't have elected Saul king, you know? So he's finding complaints. Like, no, you didn't kill everybody like the Lord told you, you know? You left them alive. It's like, well, yeah, okay. I killed 99.99% of them. And left the king alive for hostage. I don't know why he left him alive, but he did. But he has him. You know, he didn't let him go. didn't say like, oh, you're free to go. And the sheep, they're intent, and the cattle, they're supposed to be sacrifices, so they're going to die too. I don't understand. Anyway, the point of this is, Hitchens talked a lot about, you know, the slaughtering, the massacre of the Amalekites, and how that was sanctioned by God, and just how morally reprehensible that is. And I just found it hilarious that not only were they ordered to do that, God was mad because they didn't follow through. Like, they weren't evil enough. And anyway, so that's the end of the short reading. I don't know why it fell so short, but we're right just about where we need to be for this episode. So, until next time, thanks for continued listening, and I've done two in a row now. I haven't missed a week for damn near 2 weeks. I tend to try to just get these done over every weekend. So hopefully by the weekend, or, you know, today's Monday, so Monday, I will have them done. I'm sticking with it. You guys are awesome. Been really encouraging. I really appreciate it. Sorry this reading was short and a little boring, but I just found it really interesting that's Samuel seriously says, too. He says, like, what's all this bleeding I hear? like a real smart-ass reply, you know, like, what? Hey, Saul, what did you do wrong? Saul's like, I don't know. I did what you said. I killed everything. What did you do wrong? What? I don't know. What's all this? If you did what I said, then what's all this bleeding I hear around me? Saul's, that's the sheep that we took, you know. Ooh, sheep that you didn't massacre like I told you to. You know, I love how smart-ass he is about it. It's really funny. But anyway, they're freaking sheep and cattle. They're not part of the... How are they... Do they have the same belief systems? You know, like, if you asked one of these cows, would they be like, oh, yeah, I'm an effing Amalekite till I die, you know? I love these... I'm one of them, you know? This is my family. I'd rather die than be part of your... than look, I'd rather you kill me now than kill me 10 minutes from now when you want to eat me for food. You know, like, what difference would it even make to the cows and the sheep? I guess they'd get 5 or 10 more days or weeks or months of life, but either way, they're dying. They're going to be killed for food. I don't know. I just think it's hilarious. So anyway, thanks for listening, and please check out the Facebook, facebook.com/TandTheB. Got a lot of listeners on there. It's really fun. You guys, I like when you post stuff, and feel free to share stuff on the page, or you know, interact with each other, or tell me that I suck, or you know, whatever you want to do. And still going strong on the F This podcast. It's actually you guys are finally tuning in more, because got a lot more listeners, and I'm hoping that means you're enjoying it, because I think we've, you know, it's definitely a different show. Like I always say, I think it's hilarious, though. So if you're in the mood for just general complaints about religion and just how annoying people can be, it's very funny, I think. I seriously just recorded to listen to it and laugh, because that's how in love with myself I am. No, mainly for my brother. He's hilarious. So until next time, thanks you guys very much, and see you next week. Bye.